And now the next time zone. We wish Happy New Year and the blessings for the following countries and areas. And please imagine and visualize the Christ in the heart of these regions. Japan. Oh. South and North Korea. And Russia areas, Yakutsk, Chita, Blagoveshchensk, I'm sorry, this pronunciation. Oh. Palau. Oh. Part of Indonesia, Jayapura and Ambon. And East Timor, Timor. And now again for a few minutes for these regions, areas, countries, we invoke the soul of them to be established, to bring forth soul values and manifest the kingdom of God on earth. Okay, again, welcome to everybody who has now come along with us. So we have had a already very interesting day and wonderful guests. And now we are going to have also a wonderful brother, Twain Carpenter. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can we see you as well, or are you the place that there is not enough?
Yes. No, I'm in an area where you can't actually see me live. Sorry.
Right. Right. Yeah, I understand those. But anyway, it's lovely that you are there and we hear your voice. So how it is going with you?
Excellent.
So Twain is a wonderful brother, and he has been long time in the work and always gives us just fantastic insights of everything what interests me, at least. I'm always so uplifted after his presentations and those connections. And also this Twain is like a walking laboratory. He brings always all kinds of things to elaborate the subject. So, Twain, I have been asking from everybody how it happened to you in this life, that when you were realizing about the other reality, or was it so that you were already coming here with the memory?
Yes, that's a question that many people have probably written books on.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably one of the most powerful influences in my development was when I was around 14 or 15. My brother David was getting his master's degree in anthropology at an extension of the University of New Hampshire. And they formed, he and his professor, Professor Hapgood, and some students started a Society for Psychical Research.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to sort of tag along with him just out of curiosity, and attended some of their meetings. After about 6 months of seeing the effects of preying on plants, it became very clear to me that thought was a powerful force and that I had better pay attention and understand more about it. Now, my brother's professor, Charles Hapgood, was a Harvard professor who was let go about the same time Timothy Leary was, in the early 60s, and he moved to New Hampshire to do his teaching. He did anthropology teaching at Keene State College, which later became the University of an extension of the University of New Hampshire. And I met him and, with my brother, went to his private residence and began in sort of an oblique and secondary way, because my brother was the key figure here, began to sort of study under him. He was a very advanced man who wrote a number of books, and one of which, I can't remember if it was The Ancient Sea Mariners or The Earth's Shifting Crust, that was a foreword written by Albert Einstein. So the man was brilliant, but his ideas were radical, and this began my training sort of with him on a minor level through my brother into all these esoteric and arcane subjects.
Interesting. So you said that you were meditating plants. Did you say so?
Yes, we would take three groups of plants. One would send negative energy, and I have to simplify this for the time restraints, didn't do anything to the second study. And then the third one, we prayed that these mung beans were going to grow high and strong and be beautiful plants that everybody would be proud of. There was no doubt after about a week or 2 weeks that the plants that we sent bad energy to, most of them didn't sprout. And the few that did were all sort of distorted. The medium group, they came sort of like normal mung beans. And then the last group that we sent positive energy were spectacular in their growth. So that proved to me one of Alice Bailey's primary maxims, which is energy follows thought.
Absolutely. Wow. So now I'm thinking in the time of this virus, so how one can protect oneself just by thinking about this, doing some formula for oneself without any medicines. But that is coming. The vibrational medicine is coming and on its way. But this is really interesting. Have you been doing that since that experimental time?
Yes. My mother was reading Stanley Vera Alder and her books, and I used to periodically sort of peek into what that was all about. And being there in the New England area, I was very much influenced by people like Henry David Thoreau and those early transcendentalists that were sort of taking Asian and Eastern wisdom and putting sort of a Western spin on it. I see them as the early esotericists, but who may not have called themselves that.
Very interesting. I remember then, I think it was 70s or something and I don't know where this research is at the moment, but they were researching plants in relationship to criminals, where in the house had been happening a murder. And then they were, did you read that also, that this criminal was taken into the court and they had the plant from that room where the murder had happened, and they had some kind of electrical advices or things in them. Sorry, my English. But they were able to discover that when the murderer came into the room, these plants reacted. The magnetic field changed in them. I don't know where is that research at the moment, but I remember that I was reading it.
Yes. I think it's the mimosa plant that has been demonstrated to be so sensitive that if you just walk in the room and shout and display negative energy, it just wilts.
Right. Yeah, Suzanne was commenting that Clive Baxter, The Secret Life of Plants. Yeah. So I have to dig this book also. Very interesting. So Michael, would you like to, did you have something that you would wanted to ask from Dwayne or comment?
Well, I think, you know, Dwayne always has a lot to say about interesting things. So I'm going to wait a little bit and then ask later. I mean, we have our mentors, don't we? They may be unsuspecting people, or people that we would not expect to have such an influence upon our life, but it happens. It anchors early and it carries all the way through. Yeah.
So, Twain, still before I give the stage for you, how do you see at the moment, because there are so much fears in people. So how do you see that? What is your cure formula for people?
Well, I'm going to give you two answers. AAB pointed out that the master's primary purpose at this time historically is to eliminate fear from the general population, because that's how the dark forces and negative energies enter into our different group work and into our individual auric fields. And the ultimate cure for fear is unconditional love. But since many of us have not quite achieved that high goal, we need to adhere to the three basics, which is service, study, and meditation, because they build in all the energies and forces to our individual selves, our groups, and into humanity to insulate ourselves from these destructive and negative forces that are running largely rampant at this time historically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I remember that he says also that joy and love are those energies via which the healing from hierarchy can enter in. So I think the joy is very powerful tool. And when you think about the times of the war, how much the soldiers are, at least my grandfathers, they were telling that they were constantly making jokes and making the very heavy situations lighter. So I think it is one of the very important methods for us to remember to bring joy into whatever situation is, and if it may take over us, our hopes.
Excellent.
So we will give you now for your moment free states, and we follow you, and then we comment and give our questions. So people be ready for that listen carefully and interact a lot then after Twain has finished. So welcome, dear.
Thank you, Julia, Michael, and participants. It's such a joy to be a part of this occult meeting. My presentation is on solar minimums and the new astrology of superhuman physics. And I'm taking and extracting little key points from a commentary that's a little too long for us today. But I would simply point out that when we study astrology, esoteric astrology in particular, we have to understand that every life is electrical and magnetic in nature. And the Tibetan has clearly stated that there are actually two esoteric sciences that are considered the greatest. And one is esoteric astrology, but often unbeknownst to many people, also the science of electricity. And what we're going to do here in this short presentation is show the relationship between the two. And time permitting, I actually have a very short video, it's not even 3 minutes, that brings the two sciences together so that we can visually understand how they relate. And I have a strong sense that the teachings coming in 2025 are going to relate to the fusion of all these different occult sciences, but particularly the science of electricity and the science of esoteric astrology. So,
wonderful. So you share, I stop sharing so you can share your screen.
Okay. And I brought my screen up, but you cannot see it yet. Okay, let me bring it up again. I have to do screen sharing, which is right here. You give me permission and Can you see that, Julia?
No, it's not up yet.
Okay. I'm not sure why this is not.
Maybe you have to click again because we had earlier the same problem with Nicole.
Okay. Share screen. Can you see my screen now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Let's just move a few things around here. I appreciate everyone's patience. One of the greatest historical revelations in the last 50, 75 years is what is called the fourth state of matter, or plasma. And plasma makes up the majority of solar energy, whether it's sunspots, as our sun goes through its different cycles, or cosmic radiations coming from outside of our solar system altogether. And one of the purposes of this presentation is to show that in addition to these powerful conjunctions and astrological relationships that we're all quite familiar with, and the solstice, that there are even larger cycles that are taking place that may be equally as powerful, and in some cases, more potent. But I will let my participants come to their own conclusions. And that this revelation around solar minimums and cosmic energy flowing into our system brings into focus the idea of Shambhala and why this is the opportunity for it to potently come into the human kingdom. The sun, we know cyclically, changes its polarity every 11 years, and we are just exiting one of the lowest solar minimums during the 2019 and 2000 period. Now, what's interesting is that solar sunspots are not the same as cosmic radiation streaming from these outer constellations to our sun and through our sun. It has often been a scientific belief that when these cosmic radiations impacted the sun, that they were deflected largely because even those cosmic radiations that impacted and came into the sun, they exited at the poles. And anybody who's into astrology knows the poles are not directly facing our planet or our solar system. And so consequently, new discoveries have indicated that when these cosmic energies impact our sun during these solar minimums, the normal protective envelopes that our solar logos of our sun create to deflect this are no longer there. These energies come into the sun and they are pinched at the center and they radiate out at the equator. So what that means, in a quick summary, is that during times of solar minimum, we may not have the electrical disturbances of sunspots that affect communications and all kinds of things we're familiar with, but it is an opportunity for these cosmic energies to come through our sun and down into our planetary system and, of course, down into our Earth. We know that all these seven cosmic rays have different potencies and express different qualities, but they're all conditioned by one, and that is the will of the Father, the principle of directed purpose, pure being, and that they will come through our sun, the central spiritual sun, and they will come down and impact all the ashrams that are along the first ray line, and through this expand the potency of Shambhala for discipleship training and humanity. So that is the general basic outline, and let's just skip through it a little bit with a little more information. You can see my chart where we have the four most important that the Tibetan speaks of that are impacting our solar logos at this time: the Great Bear, Ray One, Sirius, Pleiades, Draco, and there's Betelgeuse, Antares. Now, here's a quote from the Tibetan that indicates that he was giving information that even science wasn't aware of that time. And it's only recently, in the last 15 or 20 years, that science has recognized that cosmic radiation is more potent and has more effect than we realize. This is the Tibetan's quote. This is written, and this is from Cosmic Fire, and we know that was one of the first books published. The science of the soul in its various aspects, mental, psychical, and spiritual, is making much headway now in the world and is absorbing more and more the attention of thinkers. This is the result of certain waves of energy impinging upon our solar system and thus eventually finding their way to our planet. So much of what DK has shared with us is prophecy. And science is just now beginning to catch up, hence why I use the opening description of my presentation as esoteric astrology and the new superhuman physics. It's based on contemporary physics and new discoveries, but it's actually the ancient science of the yogis that are becoming known. Okay, so that's basically it in a nutshell. And there is so much to this that I would simply point out on a practical level that this is what's stirring the basis of the coronavirus and pandemic, that humanity has cried out in its need for healing, and it has been recognized and heard, symbolically speaking, in high places. And this Shambhala impact electrically affects all the kingdoms, it affects all the bodies of man, and it brings unredeemed substance to the surface that can be looked at individually on a group level and historically on the whole entire planet, so that people can see where they need to work, where the purification needs to come from. And unfortunately, pain is often the greatest teacher to people who have yet to understand these higher occult and spiritual laws. So the pandemic, for all of its suffering, and I don't take it lightly, and it's affected, nobody in my immediate group has had it, but it's devastating, but there's a purpose behind it. And it's purification, and it's the burning ground so that humanity can emerge into this new level of soul awareness, this transitional period. And I would simply point out on a practical level, let me just skip down here. They've just discovered, and I'm quoting here, cosmic radiation at aviation altitudes is typical typically 50 times that of natural sources at sea level. It has been theorized by many progressive physicists that are on the cutting edge that just a 10% increase in cosmic radiation on our planet, on our solar system, can affect not only the consciousness, but the organism, the development of the brain, all the physical aspects that make up each individual person. So imagine if it's 50 times that of natural sources at sea level. My suggestion is, and I've experienced, well, my insight is that the etheric energies surrounding the planet are much more potent at higher elevations, such as Tibet and certain geographical regions. Hence, they constitute very favorable paramount places to meditate or to do certain spiritual disciplines. When I go on flights, I put earplugs in and I decompress, and I have had some of the greatest, most powerful meditations flying at thousands of feet of elevation. And I suggest others make an attempt to do that, because etheric energies become more ethereal the higher the elevation. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is I'm sure I'm running out of time, so I'd like to share with the group a short video. It's not even 3 minutes long, but it demonstrates. Do I have time, Tulia, to do that?
You have. You still have, you know, we just have to finish around 5 to even hour. So,
okay.
You can take whatever you need.
Let's inject this now. Can everybody see my screen?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now, to all of you esoteric astrologers, and this is interesting because I do not claim to be one, but I have to say, with Michael's influence and a number of other brilliant esotericists, I'm getting it very slowly, and I am in awe. What you see here is taking the mutable cross and putting it into a visual image of its polarity. Now, these positive and negative poles may not even be correct. They are simply demonstrations that these four energies have to exist in pairs of opposites. And that will be one, in my opinion, of the studies of the crosses more and more in the future. It will be the electrical potential. And as I'm going to show right now in the actual animation of this cross, this video, you're going to see how magnetism and electricity come in dynamically. Excellent. I hope there was sound with that, because the original has a soundtrack, but I may not have muted.
We didn't hear.
Okay.
The image was.
Can you hear me now, Julia?
You are heard.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
Did you not hear Michael?
No, I was I was muted. I was muted. I'm sorry.
Michael, the universe likes to keep us quiet.
Yeah,
every now and then.
It'd be good policy attached to me, I'll tell you. It reminded me, there's a number of things going here. You seem to be an individual that is making hidden energy flows visible to people, and bringing the whole concept of the etheric structure closer and closer to people's realization. Of course, this is predicted, you know, and you seem to have this fifth ray ability along with the fourth ray ability. I know how much the third and second ray are involved for you, but it seems to me that in the Aquarian age, the fifth ray will make visible these intangible flows behind which, as a result of which, all kinds of things are happening on a semi-causal level, and thereby manifest. It's got to be real. I was amused by something Master Moria said. He said, "At 20,000 feet, coffee is no longer required."
Profound.
Sorry. But, you know, I think every esotericist realizes that we are working in a high level of density within the dense physical body of the planetary logos, and even of the solar logos when we get into our egoic lotus. So it doesn't even come alive in the cosmic etheric sense yet. But when we help to bring even our own neighboring ethers as alive with pattern, it's going to be a bridge into these cosmic ethers towards which we are all striving. You know, it's been my theory, Duane, that every one of us has two monadic rays, one that pertains to the monadic plane, and one that is one of the three on the logoic plane. And sometimes when I look at your work, it looks to me like the fifth ray runs pretty deep. I'm just saying that, you know. I have no business speculating, but you do bring a form of advanced science to us, and you combine it with art and revelation, which is, it's a great presentation for people to make these things real. And I appreciate that very much. You and I go way back, you know.
We sure do.
Way back. So I think that your work in this esoteric field, among the people that I know, is a unique synthesis of factors. And I'm really glad that you're making it so tangible for people like ourselves who maybe would not so easily visualize these things. So my appreciation and the appreciation of all of us for your work.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Yeah,
it is absolutely so important. And you know this, that like you can somehow concretize them, this inner world. It is so helpful for everybody. So there are, Bill, would you like to read those comments?
Okay, let's see. All right. Diana says, can we have this article available at lightweaver.com?
No, it's been posted at several of my Facebook sites, one and two, and they're complete, and you'll find them there. Awakening the Higher Mind, the Reappearance of the Christ.
Okay, and can you type in the chat your Facebook site so they can all find it? Also, some of this you have in your Awakening the Higher Mind Through Intuition,
yes,
on Makara, and I can put that website in there too. Okay.
Excellent.
All right. Okay. And An says, wonderful, Duane. Thank you so much. I think we all second that emotion.
Thank you so much.
Diana says, one teacher, M.H., has said that by flying, we are less exposed to the gravitational force and therefore can receive inspiring ideas.
Yes, that is so true. We have spiritual gravity that pulls up, and we have material gravity that pulls down. And the astronauts who have spent time circling the Earth and visiting the moon often speak in glowing terms of the revelations they've had while that far away from the Earth's gravity.
And then Suzanne says, in the center where the will of God is known, there is found the perfect peace. All the pairs of opposites are found and centered in equivocal release. This is from a poem.
Beautiful. If you look at the mutable cross right there, you'll see that the black dots are Fohat. Or let's say Fohat before it becomes manifested. Behind the word mutable cross in white lettering is the black center. Everything in all of the crosses, first, it has to emerge from pure abstraction or pure being. And this is where Fohat, the messenger of cosmic electricity, to quote HPB, it comes down and it begins to separate itself. And if you look at Sagittarius, Virgo, you'll see these two black dots. Prior to all these astrological signs coming into manifestation, they were all pure abstractions. And as they abstract, a piece, words are so inadequate here, a piece of abstraction has to go with each new manifestation, so that you have, again, the primary point of abstraction at the center of the mutable cross and the secondary points of abstraction that exist within each chakra in miniature. Thank you.
Alexander says, thank you. Please share more with us all whenever that you can. An posted your Facebook group in the chat box so everybody can see it, and I posted the Makara page.
Oh, thank you so much.
So everyone can access those two, the various different ways that you bring us these wonderful teachings.
Excellent.
I have to say, I'm, you know, very studious, and I've read all the books. And of course, I'm, you know, my favorite is Esoteric Astrology, although that's not just one book. You have to read the other books to understand what he says in Esoteric Astrology, especially the books in the series, the four books that are in the series. But my point is, you bring the visualization to us of what we study and learn and can only conceive in our limited brain. You know, I have absolutely no Ray 4 in me whatsoever, so I can't visualize, but you visualize for me, and your videos bring that to life and help me fully understand the information that's, you know, that he talks about and that I study. So thank you.
That is so sweet.
Yeah, very sweet and wonderful. Thank you, Bill.
For those of us who have no Ray 4, we do have one escape from that statement, namely that we are a human being and
yes.
have, as a result,
soul Ray.
The soul ray of humanity at the moment, Ray 4, and the fourth order
of the solar logos. It's right there, right at
fourth
the top.
Fourth order, you know, so at least if we don't have them in our ray chart now, of course, you know, in time, all of that gets balanced out, doesn't it? And he says, interestingly, the artist is found on all the rays, but the Ray 4 is particularly assigned to achieve the art of living. And that's something I suspect we're all trying to work on, whatever our Ray complement may be. I'm sure our solar angel will see to it that we spend some time in the personal sense on all the rays, except maybe the personality Ray being the same as the solar Ray. That happens rarely.
Can I still, before we are ending, Twain, I wanted to ask from you, you were talking about these sunspots and how they are, and then the pole is changing every 11 years. Did
yes.
I? Right. So I have been thinking about this 11 because the number 11 is related to the disciples. Have you ever thought about that, to study what does it do to us? This change every 11 years. I don't know, does it have any connection? But
well, it pours in greater force. Mm. And to go back to Michael's important statement, every ray has seven subrays. Every plane has seven subplanes. So even though you can say, oh, I have a second ray soul, or I have a fifth ray personality, when that ray is fully developed, it is my opinion, to a lesser degree, it can operate through the subrays, and that's how the rays and the planes communicate amongst themselves, either macrocosmically speaking or microcosmically speaking. It's a mosaic. Or, to quote Michael in his wonderful books, this is the tapestry of the gods seen visually. And can I show one last image on my way out?
Yeah.
The cosmic
way out. Okay.
And
show that.
You have a few things on your screen there.
Let me move this over here. This is a chart of solar minimums. And if you look where it says 1958, what has happened is since 1958, if you look to the right and follow the sort of the jagged lines going down to the right, you'll see that progressively in most years, the solar minimum has become stronger in the solar. And if you look at 2025, even though on a sunspot activity level of our sun, it's fairly high as far as solar minimums, to go back to the idea that during solar minimums, Shambhala has free access. It just pours right through from these outer constellations. And if you follow 2025, that is going to be a potent time historically, as we know, for the conclave and for Shambhala. So here it is. This is quantum physics. This isn't some new age mumbo jumbo. This is quantum physics right here. Mm-hmm.
So have you followed that like in 1925, how was the solar minimums then?
Well, you can see, follow my mouse right here. See, 1917, yeah. 1928, it would be just about right about here.
Right. Interesting.
And we're, to the white line, we're right here. We're just starting back up to a solar maximum, but the solar maximums don't tell the whole story. It's the ability for cosmic radiation to penetrate through the ring pass knot of the solar logos and down into our solar system. And anyone who's into astrology knows that all of our planets in the solar system are going radiatory. They are heating up and they are giving out magnetic and electrical qualities that just simply didn't exist 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. And it's the result of our sun being impacted by these cosmic forces and also cosmic forces passing right through or being deflected or being stepped down and modified. It's all of those.
Right. Yeah, it just reminded me what DK says, that now Sanat Kumara is releasing totally a new type of energy. And I'm just wondering how they are related to these cosmic energies.
Well, they are the new energies.
Yeah. So as we see, this was absolutely too short time. We have to take a new thing with you and study this, what is happening in the cosmos. Just wonderful. Michael, do you want to have a last word, because it's 5-2? So 20, it
you,
was
Michael.
Just fantastic. Thank you being with us. And I know that everyone is now regenerated and uplifted and everyone is ready to go to the next initiation, right?
Thank you so much. And God bless all of you and the wonderful work that you have done. And to the greater group, the best has yet to come.
Absolutely. We are preparing for that. This is our rehearsal.
And I'm exiting 4 minutes early. That may be a first.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, dear friends, we will go now into silence. And for those who have not been with us, we have a silence, and then we have even hour, you hear the gong, and then we welcome those countries who were going to the new year, new energies. Oh, actually, I have to share my screen. And now into silence. And let us now place the countries which have been just now moved into the new year 2021. And when you hear this country, let us visualize the Christ in the heart of the country or this region. In China, the areas of Beijing, Shanghai, Macau, Taiwan, and Hong Kong. Singapore, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Bali. Mongolia, Brunei, Darussalam. And Russia still going on. Irkutsk, Pratsk, and Ulan-Ude. In Australia, area of birth. Let us now invoke and meditate the good future year for these areas, invoking the soul to be established, soul qualities and values, bringing the kingdom of God on earth. And a few minutes silence. Okay, my video panel disappeared. Okay, now I can see. So, welcome back. We will now go into our next guest, who is going to be Rose Bates. Are you there?
Hello, yes, I am.
Oh, great. What about you? Can you show your video, or are you in the place that there is not
Let's
enough?
Let's see.
Wow, you are there. Hi.
I think I need more light. Oh, wait.
Right. Yes.
Yes, is that better?
Very good. Thank
okay.
you. Yes. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't remember to actually tell that Twain is from United States and Rose is also from United States.
Yes, and I'm currently in California.
Right. So how is the weather for you?
Cold and rainy, probably, but not too much snow. So, which I know a lot of the country is, it's seen.
Okay. Would you have normally snow on that place?
If you're in the mountains, you do, but we're just below the mountain elevation, so
yeah. Because we have been now, like, for last years, we haven't had snow at all. But anyway, Rose, I would like to question something about this question that I love to hear, that how people actually, how it happen for them in this life, that they found the spiritual life, or did you come with that awareness already in this life?
Yes, I did. I remember being 7, 8 years old, looking up at the night sky and thinking of the vastness of everything and literally shuddering at the thought of, but what if there was nothing, no stars, nothing? And that thought just like did something to me. I think we all have a innate yearning and questioning of what is this all about? Why all of this? Why are we here? What are we? And we just get so caught up in our mundane lives and all the responsibilities that we sometimes just have to put those questions to the side because we have so much distraction. But yeah, and my parents were into the metaphysical. They were Rosicrucian students. And around the time I was born, they had the Alice Bailey books. So these books were there in the house, easily to access. And I don't know, I was around 12, 13. I was interested in theosophy, and we at a Rosicrucian library, they'd have, I picked up the Mahatma letters, and I couldn't make a word of sense out of those things, but I loved that book. You know, it was like Greek to me because it's, you know, you know, like a year later, I read the Alice Bailey's autobiography. And when I finished it, I was like, wow, these must be really good books. I need to read these. And that was it. And they kind of just were this best friend.
Right. And this, what has happened lately to you has been very transformational, really. Something extraordinary, and also you have had times of great transformation because of your father passed away, and so what has that done to you in spiritual sense?
I'm glad you bring that up, actually. I think we all have certain expansions of consciousness, and greater insights into the that other, you know, ultimate reality that we lose when we take this physical incarnation. My father passing was this apex of an earlier experience of literally having an expansion of consciousness that was like 100 times what we are experiencing right now. This compared to that state is like being asleep in a dream. And that state was like waking up. And in that state, there is complete joy and bliss that is so intense, it cripples you. Right. And when my father passed away, it was that exact same experience that was just so incredible, because we were so close, I was able to experience his state of consciousness outside the physical body. And it was just incredible. Mm-hmm. And it does something to you, because it changes your whole perspective of reality, of life. It changes your values. It changes your sense of time. And it gives you an inner peace and deep, deep peace that no matter what happens out here, it's really not that important. And it's really inconsequential compared to the magnificence of a greater reality.
Right. So I'm just, while you are talking, I'm just thinking about that. Isn't it amazing that even though we know that every one of us, me too, I'm dying and I have died many times, but how it is so incredibly powerful when the, could I call that the angel of death, the presence of whatever we call that, comes, and it has its impact, which is so unbelievable real, that it's like you shake in that reality. So that is one mystery for me, that why it is so that we have forgotten so completely. Of course, we know that there are reasons for that, but still, it is, isn't it, that there is nothing so wonderful than that?
I think if we didn't, we wouldn't be able to function here. We would just be so blissed out. We wouldn't do anything. We wouldn't have any contrast. We wouldn't